And good. And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned into The Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and I made a huge boo-boo here. I put the phone back on before the pastor was ready, so hopefully he calls back in here real quick, and we'll get him on the line here, and he's going to do a call-in show today, so we'll wait for his call here. And in the meantime, I made a dramatic mistake there. I thought he was ready to go, and he was ready to go. It was my fault on that. So hopefully he'll call back here and we'll get things rolling here tonight. So There he is calling. So we're gonna go to Pastor Steve Whitaker right now, okay? Hello, Pastor. Hello, Pastor.
Are we there?
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
All right.
Can you hear okay, Terry?
Yeah.
Can you speak up? Because you sound real quiet.
Sure. Go ahead. Can you hear me now?
I want to welcome everyone to the Pastor Spot tonight on WWGH Radio. It's good to hear from you, Terry.
Thank you. You too.
I don't know, Terry, you got real quiet since we're back online. I don't know why. But anyway, we'll try to look over top of that. Hey, it's great to be on tonight. It's great to... I want to share with you guys on WWGH Radio. This is a... how many days are we into the quarantine, Terry? Do you know?
What's that?
How many days are we into this quarantine?
Oh, gosh. Since March, what, 23rd?
Really?
Yeah. Hello, Pastor. I believe we've lost the pastor again, so hopefully we'll wait for him to call back in and we can get this show rolling here tonight. Here he is calling in now, so we'll go ahead and get this call. Pastor, are you there? Hello, Pastor, are you there?
Terry, I lost you again, buddy.
Yeah, okay. Hang on a second here. Are you there?
Anyway, folks, I'm glad to be on tonight, and I'm just going to go ahead and take this. I hope that we get back on the way we're supposed to.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Terry, we're there.
Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anyway, how many days are we into this quarantine, Terry? Do you know?
Yeah, since March 23rd, I believe.
Since March 23rd?
Yep.
So we're coming up very quickly on a month, aren't we?
Yep.
Man, I'll tell you what, it seems like a lot longer than that. Of course, I think we've been advised about social distancing and some things like that for a few weeks longer. And where we stay and what we do. And I think that... as I talk to people, they're getting really kind of antsy about staying in, especially our senior citizens. Our senior citizens are really struggling right now with feeling isolated and feeling lonely. And I encourage everyone to continually go out and reach people and do the best that you can to meet their needs where they are. There's a certain amount of people that don't have anyone to. I was talking to a lady today, a friend of mine, and she was telling me how blessed she was that she had her kids looking after her and going to the grocery, and I can sympathize with that. I can concur with her that I have the same thing. My kids are on me when I go places and shouldn't, and rightfully so, I understand. And it's great to have family, but, you know, there's a lot of people that don't. So that means we have to reach out and check on them. And honestly, you know, as far as ministry goes, a lot of people think, well, what are you doing now? You know, what can you do? And to tell the truth, I think that we're busier now than we were before. We had a service Sunday in the park. That was fantastic. Had a wonderful, wonderful turnout. Kept the social distancing in our vehicles, and it was just truly a blessing for everyone that was there. We were able to do communion. It was kind of an odd way.
I was going to say, Pastor,
people picked up a baggie, whether they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 people in their car. They picked up the corresponding bag to their family as they went in, and we did communion, and they did it in their car. You know, there's ways to do this stuff, and it is difficult, but we are able to continually get it done.
I was going to ask you, Pastor, did it hurt at all, like, you know, being Easter and the social distancing and stuff? But it sounds like you still had a nice service, and, you know. And...
Speaking of, Terry, I didn't hear that.
I'm sorry. I was just wondering what...
Tell you what, I'm going to pick up the phone, folks. I'm going to be on the phone with Terry.
Okay.
Go ahead, Terry.
I was just going to ask you if it hurt at all, this, you know, this pandemic we're going through with Easter Sunday services and stuff, but it sounded like you still had a great service and all that stuff, so.
You know, Terry's question was, did the service hurt our attendance at all, the pandemic and what's going on? And to tell you the truth, Terry, I think that we had every bit a high number, if not maybe even a higher number than we typically do on an Easter service.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
And we had a lot of different visitors from different places. And no, I don't think we were hurt at all. Matter of fact, what's really interesting about this is being able to go out on social media and reach people.
Uh-huh.
Because we were, we had over 1,600 views that day.
Wow.
Not how many people reached. We had far more than that reach, but over 1,600 actually looked at the page while it was. Why the service was going on.
That's
and
tremendous.
Then we had such a tremendous response afterwards of people that were wanting to like the church page and whatnot. We had over 60 people join the church page in the next day, and people are still sharing that message and the music, and it was just, I talked to a lady today that was so blessed by it, and, you know, what a blessing that is. That is just such a huge blessing that... we're able to do that, and do those kind of things. But how are you doing?
I'm doing real well. I'm doing real well. Yeah.
Now, you know, it's that thing about staying in. It's so difficult on everyone when they have to stay in and can't get out and do what they want. And it's just makes a difficult time for everyone. I think.
Sure. Sure. And I understand that, but it's just the fact that, you know, I'm ready for this thing to end. I'm sure everybody else is. And the longer we, you know, the longer we don't comply, the longer it's going to take to, you know, for us to get back to our regular lives, so.
Yeah, I think so, Terry. I think the longer Terry is Terry said the longer that we don't comply, the longer it is we can get back to things. And I think we're right. I think we have to have that distancing to stay away from people. But at the same time, this is really a different thing. And I don't want to say these things are a new normal, because a lot of things are going to go back to where the way they were there before. But I think we are kind of at a new normal, because at least for the foreseen future coming up, I don't think that we're going to be shaking hands with people. I don't think we're going to be hugging people. I think people are going to be more careful in washing their hands and wiping doorknobs and knowing where they've been and not sneezing openly. Maybe these are a lot of things that you know, we should do during certain times of the year. My biggest fear is that we're going to lose a lot of personal touch with people. And the last thing I want to do is see a world full of robots.
Well, Pastor, I was going to ask you, do you think from a church perspective that this is going to be a difference? Or, I mean, you know...
Terry's question is there going to be a difference from a church perspective? And, you know, I You mean as far as meeting?
Yeah, I mean, just as far as the way we act in church and everything. I mean, you already said about the hugging and the handshake. You know, I mean, is that going to be like the new normal for churches now? Or, I mean,
well, basically? When it comes to a time of greeting, I think that we've always been a church that a few minutes into our service, we have a time of greeting where everyone walks around and shakes hands, gets to know people, and does that kind of thing. And I really firmly do believe that is going to change, at least for the near future, drastically.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but it does give us an opportunity. We have so many people today that are on social media that it gives people a chance to, hey, contact somebody on social media. And you can go live on there and talk to people.
Yeah.
And you know, do a face-to-face. And I, you know, I would much rather do skin-to-skin. But, you know, it looks like that's what we're going to do.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people... feeling the pressure that we're under, the distancing that we're under, I think it's making a lot of people take that extra effort to maybe stay in touch with people, and they desire that. And I'll tell you something else: when you do see somebody, it's just, hey, look, I just saw somebody. This is great. And you know, you have a family member come by or wave. It almost means more than it did before. You know, with my family, we love each other dearly, and seeing each other is great, but it has certainly gotten strange.
Yeah.
And one thing that I do have a concern about, I want to read a passage in the Bible, if I could, real quick, in Romans chapter 5.
Absolutely.
It says, therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The reason we are righteous by faith is because we trust Him for our Lord and Savior, and Jesus died on the cross for us, as we know that. We just went through Easter. I hope everyone heard that message loud and clear. Also, through Him, we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured out on our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That hope, that perseverance is so important that we hang on to that. I think that you're going to see as an outcome of what's going on with a lot of the this particular time that we're under, you're going to see some people become stronger, and you're going to see some people that will become more weak. I think that people that put it in perspective and have a God they can trust and a family they can love, day to day, they're going to grow in strength. I want to put a challenge out there to everyone out there, especially if you're of the faith and you want to share your faith with people. You know, everyone's so busy right now, right? No, they're not. Some are and some aren't, but most are not. I heard from a fellow yesterday that said, he said, Pastor, I'm losing my mind. I don't know how much longer I can stay tied down like this. Well, my answer is, and I understand that, try to get out, walk a little if you can, or at least get some fresh air. But there's something I'd like everyone to try, and that's to read the New Testament. The New Testament is such an easy read. It's the smallest portion of our Bible. It's an easy read. And to read the New Testament from beginning to end is going to take you, well, you're going to do it this week, and you'll be through it. And I suggest reading it again. And when you have questions, look up those questions. Most Bibles today have a concordance in the back, or you do have a way to look for that, or you can even contact me. But pick up, how hard is it to pick up a Bible and read the New Testament? It is not difficult. And I would recommend people do that, especially if their excuse is, oh, I'm just so tied with time. But it will give them strength during that time. And then, you know, the New Testament church was all about, and the New Testament was all about spreading the love of Christ and spreading the gospel. So if when this is over with, when we're finally able to see people again, maybe we want to be chomping at the bit because of what we've learned in Scripture that we should be doing. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it certainly makes sense to me, Terry.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's so many things we can catch up on. I know I'm getting things done that usually take later in the year because I'm looking around saying, okay, what can I do? And, you know, these things are important. I hope that people take some of the things that they're learning now that they're needing to do, the simplicity they're learning, and they apply it to their lives, and they just don't get upset that they don't have things. You know, we're getting kind of some things happen that we haven't seen. And I will say that there's some things in our country that we've made idols. And we know that God doesn't like idols at all. We're to worship God, and he says only him shall we serve. But there's some things we've made idols in our country. We certainly have made the great god of sports an idol. We have certainly made the great god of gambling an idol. The casinos people love the casinos, you know. Mm-hmm. All these things that, you know, we have made the great god of fast food something that not only do we desire and run after and spend so much money on, but it's killing our health in America. And, you know, the list goes on and on. You plug your own thing into that list, and you know, my list might be different. And, I mean, you might say, well, Pastor, I love sports, but it's not my god, and that may be the case. But I'm just saying it is one of those gods that are out there. And what I'm getting at is this. We have a chance to see that we can survive without these gods. Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. We're seeing that things are just fine. I'm watching my grandchildren and seeing the stuff their parents are putting on social media. And I just love it. I love watching them outside doing things. And I love them interacting and as a family more. And you know, when they've been so busy and stretched before, I'm seeing kids that are happy because they're getting their schoolwork done a lot sooner than they did when they were in school. I'm seeing parents that are really enjoying teaching their children. As much as you hear about the parents that are frustrated, there's just as many parents that are loving this with their kids and drawing closer. I think, to be honest with you, when it comes to the church, I believe that the church is being attended more than it was before this pandemic. From what I see, from what all my pastor friends are doing on social media, and I see the messages they're giving and the daily Bible studies and the encouragements, maybe this is something we should have been doing all along. But I'm seeing people just really hitting these sites and listening and growing, and then people come to me and they share and they say, Pastor, you need to listen to so-and-so, or you need to watch this. Or they share something they're hearing. That was not happening before this happened. I mean, not nowhere near to the extent that it is. And what a blessing that is, I believe. You know, people are actually sitting back and clearing the cobwebs out of their head and beginning to think about what really matters to me. What if I got this pandemic and we're gone in a week? Because it's hitting all ages, you know that. I got a dear friend that's in there right now, and she certainly, with the virus, and she certainly is too young to be having the problems she is. But, you know, I try to be there for the family and for her, and we pray and trust the Lord for her health. But, you know, this, we do think of our own mortality at times like this. I'll guarantee you, when you're watching the news and you see those refrigerated trucks full of body bags, you start thinking about your mentality. You know, when you see how rapidly in certain areas things can happen, you think about your own mentality. But, you know, what's wonderful about our faith and this endurance, it says in verse 4 of chapter 5 in Romans, it says, endurance produces proven character. It doesn't say that it's going to produce a little character in some people, and maybe it will. It says it produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. You know, Terry, you know, and those of you out there, if you live in that proven hope and character, you have strength through all this. Mm-hmm. You know that you have an armor on, a battle armor on, that you're fully protected from head to toe against the depth of despair that we would find in eternity if we didn't know God. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that whatever happens, I'm okay. But I want you to be okay, and I want other people to be okay, and I need to let them know that, you know, it's okay. God wins. And, you know, some people say, well, what if I get this and I come out and my body's compromised? And okay, what if it is? Mm-hmm. You know, can God still use you? Of course he can. Mm-hmm. You know, I see with so many people all the the time that are physically compromised but are doing great and wonderful things. And we've gotten to the point so much in our society that we worship the, what I would say, the whole, the people that are in strong physical health and looking good and everything's working well, when some of the greatest people in history have been physically compromised, but God used them in a magnificent and wonderful way. Look at Helen Keller. That one will blow your mind, won't it? Yeah, I mean, she could not hear. She couldn't see. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't speak. I mean, that's difficult, isn't it?
Right.
And but yet, she was still able to learn. She actually wrote music. She wrote books. She had a positive attitude. And, you know, you see people throughout history like this, that, you know, despite their lack of what we would call a whole solid person, these were great people. And God used them in many, many great ways. And oh my, to create a list of that would be really, really crazy. It'd just be so many people that do that. But this is a difficult time. Stimulus checks are coming out. I want to encourage people too, when those checks come, be faithful with those, please. If you may be someone out there that is maybe doesn't have to pay the rent right now, or maybe doesn't have to pay utility, please pay them anyway, because the day of reckoning will come, and then you're going to be in a world of hurt. But try to keep those things paid and taken care of if you can. Some of those checks will help people, and other people are really missing a lot, and it's really going to be difficult. Our small businesses are really struggling. One thing I want to encourage everyone to do is try to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And there's two ways that when I talk about being part of the problem, one would be just saying, oh, I really don't care. I'm going to just do what I want anyway. I had to go to Kroger the other day because I needed to get some vitamins and things, and the GNC wasn't there, so I went into Kroger masked up and you know, ready for battle. And even though they had social distance spacing, there were people bolting through the store like you know, like, really, who even cares? And and you know, that's something that we shouldn't have going on, that they would, you know, do that. But you do see that. But what I'm saying, being part of the solution and not the problem, is one, do what we're supposed to do. And another thing that's so important, let's not use this as a political tit for tat. You know, that starts, and it just, like, come on, guys. If you can't come together for the American people right now without trying to do all the attacks on what's been done right and what's been done wrong, there's plenty of time for that if that's the road you choose to go down. But right now, the American people are hurting. They're afraid. They don't know where the economy's going. They went from a robust economy to something they're not sure of. And, you know, it's time for, I think, some of our politicians to put on their big boy britches and start acting the way they're supposed to. And for crying out loud, get off recess and come in. You can practice social distancing in Washington, too. You know, come in and try to get some things done. If anyone has the opportunity to get the personal protective gear they need and to practice social distancing, financially be able to get in that way and do what they need to do, it is the people that serve us in government. And they don't need to be at home, doing what they're doing. They need to be in Washington doing what they need to be doing. And there are those that are in Washington doing these things like they're supposed to. And then you have people that are kind of like snipers sitting at home taking shots at them. And I hope the American people will remember that, because those are the people, and I don't care what party they are, those are the people that they need to think about when it comes time for re-election, and just let them stay home permanently if that's what they're going to do. We have a great need right now to get this country on its feet. And I've got a dear friend, Cody, who's right now on the ship Hope or Mercy, I forget which one, one in New York. Anyway, serving right now, was called active in the military to medically take care of these people. And I think of people like that. And then when I hear people just trying to, you know, never waste a good crisis, right, to get some political
advantage, and it's just, you know, that's not a good thing. And this is one time I'd really like to see, Terry, I'd really like to see the American people show Washington that they love and care about each other more than what Washington loves and cares about us.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm not saying that none of them do. I'm just saying that let us as a people show, you know what, we're going to put all of our differences aside. You know, every week here at church, we've been reaching out and giving people a good warm meal on Saturday night, and for the people in our area right here in Prospect and around. And, you know, we hand it out the door. We do all the social distancing thing to make sure everything's sanitary and safe and all that. But, you know, I don't ask people when they come to the door what their politics are. I don't ask them what their faith is. I don't ask them any of those questions. I don't ask them if they like me or hate me. They need a meal. And that's what American people do. And that's what we continually need to keep doing. And we're going to do this as long as we can, and as long as people keep being generous and giving us the funds to help us do it, and they have been. And, you know, this stuff that I think the American people right now, the American people can teach the world a huge lesson, a good lesson. I'm not saying a smack-your-hand lesson, but take the high road. They can be that light, that beacon they're supposed to be, and say, you know what, we're helping each other no matter what. We need to, as Christians, I know, we need to practice the social distancing and be wise about it. But yet, when somebody's in need, we better be there. We better make sure they have food. We better make sure they're okay. You know, and another thing, and I think you're going to start seeing more of this as time goes on, and until we start getting out and about more, people are going to be fine physically as far as their physical needs being met, and maybe even their nutritional needs met, but we're going to see people suffering from depression, from the lack of social contact. And we need to keep that in mind. And we need to be calling and encouraging, and, hey, drive by somebody's house and give them a wave. Honk and wave at them. Yell at the window that you love them, you're thinking about them. You know, it's not that hard to do. You're not going to catch coronavirus by yelling out the window at somebody from your car. You know, soak your car down in sanitizer and take a cruise. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, these are all things that we can be doing, and I just pray that we do, that we keep it up. We understand this is a worldwide problem. Right now, I'm hearing people say that this thing was you know, I've never been real big into conspiracy theories. But I am wise enough to know there's things that go on behind the scenes that we have no clue of. And some people are saying this was planned for whatever reason, to get people more in line or in control. There's other people saying that, you know, whatever it is. Right now, regardless of whether it was planned or whether this was something that just came down the path in the broken world we're in the middle of it. And we are. And we're going to be in the middle of it. One thing I don't like seeing is I don't like seeing people take advantage of the situation and trying to get certain agendas across. And I'll give you an example. We saw some churches recently that had police come out and take down license numbers and threaten people to not go to the church and meet in their cars. I mean, think about that. It's like we did Sunday. We met in our cars. Nobody touched each other. No one's. Everybody kept their distance, but they met in their cars. We used speakers. I stood on a picnic table, and I had a message, and people felt that closeness because they could see each other through their cars and wave at each other as they left. How important is that? And for certain mayors or police chiefs around the country to take advantage of this and say, we're not letting those people meet, and we're going to arrest them, that is a sad state of affairs. And I'll tell you this, I know the church, and I know the people that are going to say, you know what, we're going to abide by this, we're going to do what we should, we're going to do what we're advised to do, because that is the right brotherly love thing to do. But when you start crossing that line and infringing on our rights and making a special example of us when we are abiding by the law, just because you have an agenda, you're going to see the church say, uh-uh, you're not doing it. You're going to see the church say, no, you're not crossing that line with us, and rightfully so. And right now, I know that if anyone listened to our Attorney General made it very clear across the country that they were not to infringe on the rights of the church whatsoever in religions and meeting. 99.99% of the people in churches that are meeting right now are doing exactly what they're supposed to do. They're not meeting in the church. They're meeting in cars, or they're keeping distancing. It's kind of sad, you know, a week ago we had a meeting of about seven of us on a board at the church, and we knew that, you know, we can't be close to each other, but we thought, well, why don't we just go over to the park and we'll sit at opposite ends of a couple different tables and we'll be, but then we had to think, someone brought it to our attention, you know, someone's going to see you and complain about it. You know, that's the kind of stuff that's wrong. When we have factories open that it's very questionable as to where they're really essential or not, but they're meeting in all these people, but then you want to tell the church they can't even meet at a distance, we're infringing on some First Amendment stuff pretty quickly, and that certainly needs to stop. But I will support anyone that says that. I don't support the pastor, honestly, that says, you know what, we're going to walk into the church with 80 people, 100 people, 200 people, and 1,000 people, and we're going to jam that place up, and God will take care of us. And I don't support that. For one thing, it's foolishness, because we know how easy this stuff spreads. And, you know, God does take care of us, but it's like I'm the person that says, oh, you know, God will take care of me. I'm not going to worry about anything. And someone offers them, I heard a story someone told the other day that was pretty good. They said there was a guy that someone offered him a mask. He had to go out and do some things in public, and they offered him a mask. He said, oh, no, I don't need that. God will take care of me. Another person saw him and said, hey, here, take some of the sanitizer and take some gloves. He said, you know, I don't need that. I trust God. He's going to protect me. He's going to take care of me. All of a sudden, he gets the virus. He ends up in the hospital. And they come and tell him that he's on a vent and he's dying. And he says, God, I trusted you to take care of me. He said, I tried to. I sent a guy with a mask. I sent a guy with gloves. I sent a guy with sanitizer, and you didn't take any of them. You see my point in that story. That, you know, God gives us common sense for a reason, does he not? Terry? Terry, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, did you hear me?
I didn't hear the last part.
I said God gives us common sense for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's sometimes the answer. Mm-hmm. I trust God every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I also trust God that when he puts things in front of me that are to my best interest to use and do, I need to do those things. It's not a lack of trust in God when you're using common sense of things he puts in front of you.
Right.
That's like saying, you know, I trust God so much that I decided I don't need to eat anymore, and he's going to provide food for my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that stuff makes no sense. And I think as a church we need to stand up and let people know that they can rest and have faith and trust God and know him. Just have that relationship. That's what's so important. I would not want to not have a relationship with God right now with the things going on, because I would have an extra dose of lonely, an extra dose of frantic, and an extra dose of despair. I can guarantee you that. It's hard enough the way it is for everyone. Man, do I want to go out and do stuff. I told Shirley today, I said, man, you know, it would be kind of nice just to go out and sit down and have dinner somewhere. And we're not big on going out to eat. But it's just to be able to do it, to know that you could. To know that you can. Shirley and I loved a window shop. We window shop because we don't have any money. But the truth is that we've always loved to do that, but we can't do that either.
Yeah.
But there are things we can do. You know, we can get out and walk outside. And we can share with things together. Hey, there's a great series on that I've been watching on, what channel is that? The History Channel, I think, that Roma Downey and her husband, is it Jeff Probst or whatever. Anyway, they do, and it's called AD, and it's from The Crucifixion of Christ Forward. I think we watched like 10 episodes the other night. We watched it forever. And that's one that's out there. There's a lot of good stuff on that you guys can pick up on and watch. You know, don't be in despair right now. You know, be positive. Keep yourself protected the very best that you can. The first thing I'm going to ask you to do before you do any, well, get yourself covered while you're doing this so that you're not breathing in something you shouldn't. But here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like everyone out there to say, Dear Jesus, I know that you died for me to cover and pay for my sin that I could never do. And I ask you to come into my life and to lead me and guide me and forgive me of all my transgressions and sins. And as I desire to know you and live for you, in your name, amen. And I'll tell you something. You're going to begin to see your life transformed. And, you know, he tells us, you know, he stands at the door and knocks. And then what happens? You know Frank? Frank's in here. What happens after he stands at the door and knocks, Frank? He lets him in. Yeah. And he lets him in. And what else does he do? He'll dine with them, right? You know, he'll you know, the Lord wants to break bread with you. You know, he loves us dearly. He says that, you know, if we seek him, he won't cast us out. He'll never turn us away. So someone could say, well, how do I know that God loves me? Well, to be honest in your heart, say, God, I really want to know you, and I really want to believe in you. I'm seeking you. And God doesn't lie. He says that he won't turn you away. And if people do that, they begin to have a new outlook. Hey, look, I'm going to do this A, B, and C tomorrow. And if that doesn't work, that's just fine because God has another plan. But regardless of what I do, God's got me. He's got me in this. And I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I'll be honest, I was thinking about this the other day, and I know all Christians are always supposed to want to go to heaven. And I do want to go to heaven, don't get me wrong. But I love life. And I love the ministry God has given me, and I love loving people, and I love loving my wife, and how we're getting to know each other better the older that we get. And I thought to myself the other day, I thought, well, how cool would it be if we could just know what we know now and be where we are now and live for another 50 years? Wouldn't that be cool? But, you know, we know that's not going to happen. But, you know, it's because God gives me that joy in living. And that only comes through him. I mess things up too easy. I messed up my whole life at one point. And we do that. But God redeems. God heals and God transforms. You know, Terry, I think we're about out of time, buddy. What do you think?
Yeah, we're getting close. You got about 5 minutes.
We got about 5 minutes left. I'm glad to see a lot of people are watching. I've got this running live on the Pastor Spot. I see Thad Ross, and who else do I see? Well, I can't see very well. I am getting old. Frank Robinson looks like he's on there, and is there a Martha Adams on there? Marty Adams. Marty Adams is on there. I've seen a few others. Hey, I appreciate you guys watching tonight, and if you got any questions or comments, even after the show goes off, play it again, ask me, watch. You know, this is going to play again tomorrow at 3:15.
Yep.
On the same station, WWGH. Terry, what's the website?
WWGH1071.com.
WWGH1071.com. .com. 1071.com.
Yep.
And they can watch it on right on the computer. So, and then it'll play again, of course, on Sunday morning from 8 to 9. But, you know, I look forward to seeing everyone. I think we're going to try to keep some outdoor ministry going and reaching people for the Lord. And I just want to encourage everyone, God loves you so much out there. And he loves you, and he desires the best for you. This is a great mom and dad. It's a great time to sit down and start reading to your kids. And read the Word of God to them. Open those family questions.
We're about three minutes, Pastor.
We have about 3 minutes left?
Yep.
Well, 3 minutes. Frank, you have an encouraging word. Come up, speak up a little so they can hear. You have an encouraging word? Frank, what came into the office?
Well, I thought that all this has
Yeah, and that is neat, Frank, that he knows the beginning and the end. And he wins. And he wins. And, you know, I don't know about it, but that's one ship I want to be on.
Yeah.
That's one train I want to get on at the station.
Yeah.
You know, God knows the beginning and the end, and I want him holding my hand when the end comes.
2 minutes.
And, you know, what a blessing that is. Hey, everybody, I love you very much. Listen, we are at 209 East Water Street, but that's not doing you a bit of good right now. You can reach me at the church at 740-494-2222 or at prospectccf.com. If you call and leave me a message, I will get back with you. You can like this. You can see this again on the Pastor Spot and also on Community Christian Fellowship on Facebook and or on Steve Whitaker. You can look at any of those and certainly online again at 107.1 FM. So God bless you guys, Terry. It's been great talking to you, and I will talk to everybody later.
You too. Let's get over this, man, so we can get back
absolutely.
In the studio,
God
man.
Bless you all.
I'm ready for you to get back in the studio.
Yeah, me too. I'll see you, buddy.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Take care.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the